Hey! What's going on? It's NFL Strayer. I am your co-host, James Clements. I'm a writer. Sometimes for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, and literally whoever else wants to grease these hairy palms. Oh, gross. With some of that walking around stuff. On the other side of this here iPad is noted public nuisance. A bloke has been unleashed back on the bars of Melbourne's inner north. Resident Philadelphia Eagles fan, sometimes singer in a band called Ramshackle Army. A bloke who's had his hair cut. Bloody Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Fucking way, hey, Jimmy. We're out. We're back. Been to a couple of bars. It's been good. I've had my fucking hair cut, and Melbourne in the last 4 days has had as many COVID cases as the Cowboys have had touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. So we're fucking back, baby.
Not
Let's
bad.
Do this.
I walked into a pub the other day. I was just so fucking happy. Look, Gaz, week 8 was some bullshit. We're going to talk about some NFL stuff. We'll figure out what happened, all the good shit. Yeah, Nas, Outback Takehouse, good bloke of the week. Oh, mate, no mates. A quick stray and player watch. Nice. And a whole bunch of picks and previews for next week. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Fun week, dumb week. I reckon we just get stuck in. What do you reckon?
Let's get fucking straight in, buddy.
All right, man. This is episode 9 of NFL Australia. Let's go.
You get an interception. You get an interception. You get an interception. You get a g'day. It's Danny Dimes, and you're listening to NFL Straya.
All right, guys, let's bloody do it. Week 8 is in the bag. Week 9 is upon us. Kind of, actually. I mean, these Friday, you know, Thursday night games, it just turns around so quickly, and I love it. But this week, obviously, we've got the trade deadline as well. Shit's just going to be going mad. I'm crushing you with the weekly picks. I picked up 5 on you this week, so I'm up 8.
Jesus. Oh, shit.
I think you're up, you're past a 6-pack in the bag now, buddy.
Mate, I took a couple of sneaky, risky ones on the... didn't do me any favors.
Yeah, I feel like I took a bunch of underdogs last week and it paid off, so that worked out. Well. Random thoughts from this week. The Chiefs, speaking of the Lions and picking, they covered against the Jets.
Fucking hell.
Couldn't believe that. Won me some money as well, which is very handy. The NFC still sucks. No surprises there. Pretty good. Everyone's saying at the moment, put some respect on Seattle's defense. I reckon they need to chill the fuck out. They beat the 49ers, Gaz, who had basically me starting a quarterback, I think, this week, and tight end. Holy fuck. But at the same time, still, it's comeback season still this year. I fucking love it. I think last week we didn't have a 3-score comeback. 3-touchdown comeback, maybe. 3-score, whatever. We got one this week. Broncos won with the 1 second left touchdown over the Chargers, the poor Chargers. Pretty wild week. Lots of fun shit kind of happened.
Yeah.
But nothing sort of like really momentous, but it was good.
No, look, it's enough to keep us entertained. That like Chiefs were proper, you know, look at their opposition, but they were playing schoolyard footy. You look at some of the throws that Mr. Mahomes was leading to Tyreek, and it was proper schoolyard because he piggybacked him back to the bench. Like it was, they're gonna break into Kiss Chasey next. But 5 TDs thrown around like he was socially distancing, throwing Halloween candy out, right? It was just, you have a touchdown, you have a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
I just want to go some Wahoos and Wahays. If we're gonna break into some Kiss Chasey. That was
true.
A joke for all the people out there who get the reference of a mid-2000s Melbourne-centric pop-punk band. So, pretty good.
So they need to be Australian, they need to be old, and they need to be into pop-punk. So, solid reference there, Jimmy.
That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, no excuses for the East, though. Like, we were just talking about it before coming on air, but that Cowboys-Eagles game, I just want to issue an apology for anyone who's not a fan of the Cowboys and the Eagles and watch that game. It was the worst fucking display of professional football that I've seen in ages. And
I love that shit,
it was
though.
like a pillow fight.
Watching fucking Wentz just shit the bed constantly on, like, just writ large in prime time is great fun. Like, as a fucking,
it was so bizarre.
Casual observer, you're like, oh, this is fucking horrible. It was
nuts.
It's
like They're saying, oh, you know, the wind was up there, and he lost some of those throws that ended up in Diggs' hands, and, you know, more power to Diggs for being at the end of those interceptions.
The fumbles, though.
Mate, if it's fucking windy, you're at home. If it's that windy and the weather's that shit, don't throw it, mate. You've got Goddard back. The run defense of Dallas is fucking monumentally terrible, and Boston Scott was getting through there. So just keep it going, mate. Yeah. Keep it going. But anyway, look, the Seahawks D did its job. We'll see when they play a team who's not fielding more IR than anything else. But Carlos Dunlap coming over to the Seahawks will be interesting. See if he's got anything left, whether the fresh start coming over from the Bengals helps them out. But yeah, red zone in that late window on Monday was at one stage they were saying, oh, there's nothing interesting. Everything's at a two-score lead, you know, double-digit lead. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, everything's within a touchdown.
Yeah,
so
it was awesome.
It's fucking great. And that Broncos game, like, that was pretty memorable. But what the fuck, Chargers? Like, how can you... It's them and the Falcons. How do you find that many ways to blow a lead? It's just out of control.
It is. I love this. I love the NFL. Speaking of loving it, I don't know, injuries kind of shit. A bit of the bed for us this week. Gardner Minshew, his hands all broken up. I'd say it's because he's just like, I don't want to play for this fucking team. They've got Jake Luton starting next week as well, which is pretty fun.
Yep.
Jimmy G, done for the season, they reckon, over there for the Niners with his high ankle sprain, which is fucked. Tough scene there for Jimmy G, but just, you know, one more closer step for him leading the Pats to the Super Bowl next year. And George Kittle, done for 8 weeks with a broken bone in his ankle. Call it the San Fran ankle Niners. Tough scene there as well. The Niners, look, I mean, it's just gotten to a point where it's ridiculous. So, but yeah, injuries everywhere, bit of COVID as well. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, mate. Look, it's with Gardner. I mean, it's all a bit suspicious considering he admitted to whacking his hand with a hammer in college so he could redshirt his first year. Like, if I was playing for the Jags, I'd have to at least consider it. But the annoying thing for me is I thought I was a fucking fantasy genius and snuck in and picked up Mike Glennon because I thought the ginger giraffe. I was about to make an epic, you know, rant this week going the gingers are taking over the league with Dalton in and Wentz and the ginger giraffe coming in. And then they've screwed me.
Yep.
They got Jakey Luton, the rookie starting.
Love it.
But Jimmy G's got to be like, it's just a fucking, not a great scene. They talk about Super Bowl hangover. And yeah, look, it's weird that it's considered a good week for us in COVID world when there's only, what, 3 cases that we know of? So yeah,
the tough part's going to be with AJ Dillon, wasn't it, for the Packers? Like,
yeah.
Basically, seems like he could have had it during the game and throughout the, you know, last round of practices and shit. So they're looking at all his teammates. Marlon Humphrey, he tweeted out, I got the Rona. Hopefully he'll be back soon. That was pretty sick. Devin Kennard. I don't know, but yeah, not too bad. And then the big injury, obviously, was the Ravens as
Stanley.
Well, losing Stanley.
Yeah.
That was a tough fucking scene. That dude, at least he just signed a contract, though.
Yeah, what was it? So 99 mil, I think 70 guaranteed or whatever it was. You'd be a bit dirty if you were the front office of the Ravens.
So we could
just got to replace your left tackle in a playoff season.
It's like, wow, our fax machine wasn't actually working. We never got the signed copy, bro. I don't know what to tell you. Tough.
Yeah. But you know what? Hopefully, speedy recovery. Good luck to him. Yeah. He was clearly on a. He was playing well, and hopefully, he gets back sooner rather than later.
Ravens. I don't know, man. After that, we'll talk about that later. We've got one defeated team left. One team without a win. Loving this. Just binary football. That's great, isn't it? Pittsburgh and the Jets. That's great.
I'll run out of things to say about Pittsburgh. They're just as like it's in a positive way.
Yeah, I mean that's it.
I think we talk a little bit about it later, but they're just showing when one side of the ball is not having a strong game, the other side can carry them, right?
Love
so
it.
They're very well rounded at the moment.
Nice. Also, a couple of trades hit sort of around like after the games, before the games this week. Kwon Alexander, the Saints. Niners got Kiko Alonso in a fifth. The much traveled Kiko Alonso. It's always funny when you see his name pop up and you're like, what? Hang on. Like, he was good.
Yeah.
But that dude just keeps getting fucking traded. Titans, they got Desmond King from the Chargers for a 6th. Avery Williamson to the Steelers from the Jets for a 5th. It'd feel good if you're that guy.
Yep. That's my note on Kiko. It says my note says at this stage it feels like Kiko has been traded more than a 1972 Datsun 180B.
Fucking love a good Datto. Nearly bought a Datsun Sunbird. What else we got?
Yeah, I'm gonna be the next Reddit, the rumor pages, the next 24 hours is gonna be just that F5 button's gonna cop a pounding, right?
Yep.
Like my team's shit. Let's hope that we get someone just to make it interesting. Anyway, this is a fun time of year, right?
It is. I mean, I was sort of thinking, like, looking at the Pats team and going, look, Stephen Gilmore is probably going to be out for a massive contract extension as of next year. And Belichick's like, nah, I'm not really going to pay top dollar for really good dudes who have just turned 30. So I'm like, oh, fuck, are we going to trade Gilmore? And then he didn't play this week. And I'm like, we're probably just fucked anyway.
Blue yeah, Pats, well, look, the Pats, to be honest, Big Bill has come out and said everyone's on the table. They would listen to offers for anyone.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't know who we've got anyone would fucking want at this point.
And there's only four players from the Texans who are off limits, and then everyone else. So Will Fuller's definitely in play. There's rumors kicking around about him and Green Bay, whether they actually, you know, it's got to be the right money. So we'll see what happens there. It's going to be fun.
It is love trades. It's weird because the NFL in terms of trade stuff during the season was always a bit, you know, molasses kind of slow, and then I think with the NBA's influence and everybody just being on social media the entire time wanting to see shit happen, have actually kind of like made it happen, which is weird, but that's just how it goes sometimes. Like they willed it into existence. It's like, we need a way more fun NFL trade deadline. It's like, all right, fucking sure, here we go.
It steps it up another notch too when it's that good player for player trade.
Yep.
Right, like filling a gap full of need versus, you know, conditional 2023 picks. Like, big fucking deal. Give me something that's tangible.
Yeah. And what else we got? We've got the NFL now announcing that they've got a bit of a contingency plan if they lose more games, because we're obviously seeing a lot of teams rolling through some of their buys now. So if the COVID hits some of these teams later in the season, they're going to be up shit creek because, you know, the NFL doesn't have a fucking rolling schedule because they're a bunch of morons. So they're going with a 16-team playoff, maybe, if this has to be, you know, whipped out, which is four division champs and four wild card teams for both the AFC and NFC. So how that would actually work is you'd have 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, 3, 6, 4, 5. Again, similar to what every other sport. So I don't know. It's pretty cool. Good on them. But at the same time, look, if they had fucking looked ahead, had a rolling schedule, they would have been fucking covered for this, but at the same time, we'll talk about this again later. Might have been their plan all along. Anyway.
Yeah, but once the injuries all flesh out and all that sort of stuff, it still seemed to be going on. Like, it's got to be concerned that those 7th and 8th teams are just going to be making up the numbers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if it all spreads out, is it going to end up like just some debaucherous money grab? You know,
from the NFL, maybe
a second NFC East team can just sneak through and the internet would lose its fucking mind.
I don't think that'll happen.
That won't happen.
All right. 5 big takeaways from week 8. Gaz Steelers. I mean, we already mentioned it's still unbeaten. Super Bowl favorites. It's them and the Chiefs at this point. They started off that game pretty shit, actually. And I'm watching, like, I watched the 40-minute recap going, how the fuck did they win this? And then, it's like after the first quarter, they were good. Defense was great. Really just fucking shut down the Ravens, and the Ravens did not do themselves any fucking favors, even at home.
No,
turnovers galore. Just looked, I don't know, like they moved the ball like no problems, but then nothing came of it. It was fucking weird. So I don't know. The Steelers, to win a game like that, win ugly, win shit, but still come away with a win. It's a pretty big sort of like, there's nothing really big statement wise about it beyond the fact that they simply just won it.
Yeah, and it's that rivalry, right? So it's always been close. It's always been brutal. But yeah, look, the Ravens ran up 250 yards on the ground. The Ravens D held Big Ben to less than 200 yards and the team to less, the Steelers to less than 50 rushing. But 2 picks, including Lamar's first pick 6 and 3 forced fumbles, you're not going to have a good day with that, right? Mm. So they just managed to smother them when it mattered and came away with the win.
Isn't there like some crazy stat that the Ravens having over 250 yards and losing is like one of the first times that's happened in like forever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Number 2, big takeaway, rookie QBs. What a week. We got Joey B, we got Tua, we got Herbs. Unky Herb. Two of the three got wins, and Herbs was just out there crushing it until the very fucking end of that stupid Chargers-Broncos game. He also set the record, I think, for the most yards by a rookie in his first five games and nearly had the win anyway. I don't know. Joey B looked the goods in a pretty wild win over the Browns. Titans. Who'd they beat? Cincy. They beat the Titans. Fuck.
Titans.
Yeah, that's right. The Browns shit the bed against the Raiders. Raiders. But I love that Joey B just keeps getting hit, keeps coming. I love him. He's awesome. What a gun. Tua didn't really fucking light the world on fire, but it was still solid. And I love the fact that the Dolphins, what, they had a score at every level basically of the game, right? Passing, rushing, special teams, and defensive touchdown. First time the Dolphins have done that since 93. And Tua's first ever touchdown to Devontae Parker was absolutely fucking mint. Whoa.
Yep.
Fucking flung it in there. It was great. So that was awesome. Now the Dolphins are a really big chance at a bit of a playoff spot, which is pretty cool. What else? Herb's interception on his first throw. Not great. Then had three touchdowns, up 24-3 on the Broncos. He's a fucking gun. Also then, you know, look, speaking of gun rooks, Trevon Diggs, two interceptions by a rookie. Pretty good. First time that's happened since Sean Lee did it for the Cowboys. Cool. 10 years ago.
It was Wentz, though. Come on, it was Wentz. He's giving him everyone. It's like, still. Fucking Halloween candy.
Rookies are fun, and so are cute. You know, that's a kid. What a cornerback, Trevon Diggs. That was awesome. So, yeah, good job for the rooks. What a fucking fun rookie class this is.
And when you add on in this world of, you know, a season of chaos and pain with COVID and injuries all over the place, like QB's able to step in. The wide receiver class has been absolutely fucking awesome. So some of these wins have been ridiculous. Like Burrow's this week, I think there was four offensive linemen for the Bengals were swapped out from last week. And they still got him. Like he just looked like he just had enough time. It's like the game is, quotes are coming from him now saying the game is definitely slowing down for me. It's just less frantic for him. So, they could be legit. Who would have thought that they were a joke at the beginning of this year? Yeah. But Joey B's bringing them in.
Joey B, though, it makes sense. I mean, he's as old as you and I, like as a rookie.
Yeah.
So,
well, like, whatever. Fuck. Herbert's, it's just this massive fucking quandary with the Chargers, right? They're clearly executing properly because they're getting the fucking lead in the first place.
Yep.
But I just don't know what happens where they just stop.
They just forget how to play football. It's fucking
wild.
Forget
how many fucking quarters. but you got to admit, like, Locke's play at the end of that game was fucking great, and that final touchdown was fantastic.
The first time I've actually watched Drew Locke and gone,
maybe not so bad. Tua, look at, you know, everyone, the conversation all season has been about, you know, Fitz and Tua and Fitz running the running that offense and keeping him in it. Well, you know what? It wasn't Tua this. It wasn't quarterback play. Yep. It was the defense and every other level. So maybe, you know, Tua settling in a bit. Maybe the Dolphins are not something to joke about.
Good coaching as well. Brian Flores, love it.
Oh, the Belichick coaching tree shithouse. Fuck off.
Number three, Dalvin Cook. Still good, turns out. Pretty good at football. Four touchdowns in that game against the Pack. First Viking to have four, I think, in a game since Ahmad Rashad. Host of NBA Inside Stuff. Fucking love Ahmad Rashad. But also NFC North matchup against the Pack. Fun, obviously always a great matchup. Great color schemes going up against each other. But Green Bay look fucking shit. And, I mean, this is, the second time we've seen it this year, panicky Rodgers. And every time it happens, it just, you can just go, they're not winning this. Like, he just gets a bit scattered. He's a bit skittish.
He just fucking implodes.
And he just sort of falls apart. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like that. It's definitely that, that any given Sunday, right? Like, the Pack have looked unstoppable at times. Like, just literally that they would crush anyone. And, you know, Rodgers in the MVP conversation about everything, and then he put up an absolute stinker against Tampa Bay and now Minnesota. But Minnesota also, they put up points, and Jefferson all year has been great, and they put up the yards, but they just couldn't get over the line in some of these wins. So this week it all came together, and it's a matter of whether they can put a run of these ones in a row.
You better fucking hurry up, the 2-5. Number four, the five big takeaways, the Pats. Jesus fucking Christ, I hate saying it, but they just still, they stink. Oosh. Cam looked better in this one against the Bills, but his fumble at the end cost them the game. They were, you know, right there. What was it? He fumbles at the 11? Oh, fuck me. And they've now given up 175 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns in 2 straight games. You know how many times that happened in the previous 20 years? In 2 straight games, guys, how many times that happened in the previous 20 years?
No idea, but I'm tipping it's not many.
Three times. We've done it 2 straight. It's
holy shit.
Fucked. But I don't know, man.
Holy shit. But yeah, look, they did. He did actually look decent right
he
up
did.
Until
he
that.
He looked all right in this one. So I'm not, look, I'm not going to bash myself about it, but yeah.
Nah. But he, what, he still hasn't thrown a TD since coming back from the Roans, right?
I mean, who's he going to fucking throw it to?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Jacoby Myers? Jesus Christ. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Whatever.
But the interesting quote from Big Bill, Evil Empire, today was that basically, you know, it's pretty honest to say, look, we were all in. We put all our money on the table in previous years and shelled out a bunch of money on contracts and got 3 rings and another appearance out of it.
Yeah.
But we got fucking nothing left, right? So when you're left holding these contracts, yeah. And, you know, he actually used it as a prime example. Look, we could only go after a quarterback like Cam and pay him $1 million.
Yep.
Right? You're not investing heavily.
It's weird. I mean, obviously they got fucked over losing a shit ton of talent with the COVID pullouts and everything. And but then the amount of dead money on that on the cap anyway this year was going to be a bit of a fucking problem, and boom, this is all, you know, it's all come home to roost. What are you going to do? Number five, though, just this is the overall big takeaway. It was a great week for division games and playoff implications. Basically, it was fun as shit, obviously, because we had some really fun games, and it's nice that the NFL kind of like went, all right, middle of the season, basically, boom, let's fucking throw some fun shit in there. Steelers-Ravens, Steelers are going to be tough to catch now, obviously. Ravens, look, they just can't win a fucking game that matters, and they lost Ronnie Stanley. We're Green Bay Vikes. That was awesome. The gap in the NFC North. Look, with that loss, it's just that little bit less now, isn't it? Because you've now got...
Yeah.
Look, teams that the Bears are fucking up and down. Detroit, any fucking day, they can... They're 3-1 away, Detroit. They haven't won at home. It's fucking crazy. And then the Vikes are 2-5. Like, it just sort of threw a bit of a spanner, like a wrench in the works. Spanner in the works. There you go. Yeah. Oh, it checks out. For the NFC North. And then obviously we had, what, NFC South on Thursday Night Football. Falcons-Panthers, that was a fun-ass game. Panthers now a bit behind the eight ball, though. And then the Falcons just, you know, getting the old dead coach bounce. They've won 2 now. Good on them. Yeah. Fucking fantastic. But the Panthers, I mean, in that division, even with an expanded playoff, it's now going to be pretty fucking tough for the Panthers to climb all the way back up there when you've got the NFC the West, the top 2 teams in the NFC South, the North as well. Yeah, it's just going to be a bit of a rough game now. AFC, yeah, same thing. Pats, Bills, huge win for the Bills. They're in the driver's seat for that. Leaves the Dolphins a bit of a chance to sneak in as well. That was their first home win against the Pats since 2011. AFC West, Broncos getting the Chargers. Look, that's the Chargers are basically done now, which just sucks, but they just kept losing all these fucking games. It's what happens. Yeah. They're now 2-5. And then just in terms of playoff stuff, fuck, man. What are they going to have to do? Like 8-0 to make it?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
And what else? NFC West, Niners, Seattle. Niners, look, they came back. Bit of moxie. It was fun to see. That game was looking like it was completely D-U-N done. And then they came rip-roaring back. And then Seattle sort of put them away. But then you got to feel bad for the Niners as well. So another good rivalry. And same with the Cowboys-Eagles. Fun
Mate,
shit. The NFC East. There's a lot of fun shit. It was a great week.
Exactly. Like this is getting into that nice spot where there are a lot of division games, and you know it makes up for us having to sit through all the byes. But there's a lot of 5-win teams at the moment, right? There's some that have got more chances than others, but it just means that this wild card race is fucking wild, funnily enough. but there's teams out there like, you know, that you just can't predict, like the Browns, who have just fucking hot 1 week, cold the next. You just don't know what Browns team's showing up. The Titans have shown, you know, weaknesses now, I guess, particularly against the Bengals. The Bengals are improving, and there's a bunch of teams who are starting to improve, like what Minnesota have done and like what the Falcons have done, that their pride and their hatred of their division rivals means they're going to have a lot of fun playing spoiler towards the end of this season, right? That South is just going to be, they're just going to be chopping each other off at the knees, right?
I think that's what we've got, isn't that Sunday night? We've got Saints and Saints in Tampa Bay as well. Like, just some.
Yeah, that's the one that we circled. That's the one we circled at the beginning of the year, saying that second matchup when Tom knows his went. But even today, look, the first half of the game, they didn't look great against the Giants. Nope. Giants had them, and it was only Danny Dimes putting a couple of weak armed passes up there that that got taken away, that that led them back into it, and then they just took care of business, really. Yep.
Nice one. All right, let's do some yeah, Nas Gaz right after this. All right, Gaz. Yeah, Nas, NFL Australia, always brought to you by our buddies over at thedailyliquor.com, East Ninth Brewing. Love it. That's right. Melbourne, you're out of lockdown, but holy shit, you got to wrap around, you know, wrap your lips around some nice, tasty brews. If they're not on tap, and you want some still at home to sit out in the backyard like I did today. Holy shit. Smash thedailyliquor.com. They'll drop them off to your fucking house. It's the best. They just bring you beers. I fucking love it. The Dos Blocos, the Sample Brew. What is it? The Sample 3-quarter IPA has always been one of my favorites. I love that. The Gold Lager. Oh, and I love the Dos X. Luckily enough, if you spend $20 at thedailyliquor.com and enter the code STRAYAGAZ, what do you get? A free sixer of the Dos X.
Fucking sixer. So because I'm allowed out to the pub this week, mate, I wandered down the street for feels like the first time in ages, and I went to the Northcote Social Club. You know how far the Northcote Social Club is from my house? One Dos X, mate. One fucking Dos X.
Love it.
Fucking timed it.
That's pretty good. So, look, smash it, Melbourne, Metro Melbourne area, dailyliquor.com, same day delivery before 1 o'clock. Enter the code STRAY, get a free sixer of Dos X. You're fucking laughing. Get on your mates, Gaz
fucking
and Jimmy.
Fucking new beauty.
Love it. Thank us later when you're sitting there crushing it. Now that we've got daylight savings kicking the old NFL off an hour later as well, it feels way less guilty to be smashing cans whilst watching the NFL in Australia. It's fucking the best.
All right. Fuck, we've had two public holidays in 2 weeks and both of them had football games on it.
Pretty fucking
great. Oh, I've started drinking at midday. It's great.
Anyway, that's why I need marriage counselling. 10-year Nas. Let's do it, guys. Can the Chargers ever just fucking hold a double-digit lead? They've blown four. Jesus Christ, that's it for their season, isn't it? Yeah, nah.
Look, yes, it's that for the season, but I'd like to think that it can change, but I can't fucking tell you what's going wrong. Because as I said earlier, they're clearly able to execute. Herbert's fucking playing well. It's just they stop playing at some point during the third and fourth quarter. So look, if they can put it all together, then you know, the future is bright. Well, you've still got Keenan Allen and... Mike Williams, fuck, he's killing me. He's had a shit week and I put him on my fantasy team, but he has a great week while sitting on my bench. But look, he's got some weapons around him. If he can, they can put it all together, they can win some games in that division.
Love it. Number two, despite a slow start and a shitty first quarter, Indy, look, they look pretty fucking good against Detroit. That's another game that I watched with the old 40-minute breakdown and was like, how the fuck did they just like absolutely cream Detroit? So even like they lost T.Y. Hilton to a groin injury and everything, and you're like, Jesus Christ. But look, this is more about Detroit. Even in a world that has Adam Gase, is Matt Patricia like the worst coach? Like Detroit, just sometimes you're like, how have these guys met each other before? What do you reckon? Is he the worst? Yeah, nah.
Well, Patricia's like, correct me if I'm wrong, but Matt Patricia was a pretty successful defensive coach, right?
Yeah, I mean, won a couple of Super Bowls with the Pats, so, you know.
I know, right? But it's like, you know, they're putting up points. Galladay's having a great year. Stafford's putting up some stats. They've put up, what, 29 points on the Saints the other week. So they're getting the job done, but they just... when they lose, that teams are coming back the other way. And while I think the Colts have been not... they've never been at the front of our mind, except for the fact that we keep picking on Phillip Rivers for being an old man who's had too many kids. But their defense is good. They're getting the job done. Frankie Reich has been creative with the offense again. He put Trey Burton, tight end, got a rushing touchdown this week.
Love it.
Hines put up some of the best acrobatics touchdown celebrations you'll ever wish to see.
Do a flip.
It was fucking great. It was fucking great. So look, you know what? They could mean business. They'll be in for a wild card, I reckon.
That's what I yell out the car at skateboarders. Do a flip.
Do a flip.
The Raiders ran over the top of the Browns in Cleveland in bad weather, which is fucking hilarious because you'd expect the Browns in Cleveland with the run game that they have to go out there and actually do that. But Cleveland is still Cleveland, guys. So is this a case of the Raiders being good? Yeah, nah.
Well, I mean, Jacobs was legit, right? Fuck so he's a proper hard-ass, hard-running running back, and they just were smart enough. This Gruden bloke might know what he's talking about. It was his fucking 10-year contract.
I don't know, man. There's just something about this guy, man.
Maybe he knew not to have Carr air it out fucking 50 times a game and just hand it to Jacobs in shit weather and let it go. And but look, Cleveland, it would have been a really nice game for them to have Chubb.
Yeah.
And just slog it out with those the hard running Chubb versus Jacobs. But, you know, you get the hand you dealt, and they just Cleveland find ways to be Cleveland, well, right?
They lost their best quarterback to an ACL injury last week with Odell. Seattle.
That is true.
Smoked the Niners despite a comeback in that game, as I mentioned earlier. But look, the Niners have now just hit a tipping point. They got too many injuries, aren't they, guys? Like, they made Seattle... Look, I mentioned this as well. They made Seattle's defense look good. They've now got $80 million of their cap, I think, on IR. That's not great. Mate, so, I don't know. Are they done?
If I was heading up the Niners right now, I'd just write an official letter to Goodell, asking to put the mercy rule in place. Just keep our guys off the field, because at this stage, look, they're a really good looking team. If you were able to start everyone on IR, they'd be contending for the division, right? They almost have a full team on their in the hospital ward at the moment, but they're just one of my note here is they're being repeatedly smacked like they're trying to rob Macaulay Culkin's house. There's a fucking...
Not bad.
There's a Home Alone reference. but look, to be honest, like, how do you even feel the competitive team now when none of these guys are... It's just practice squad against second stringer across guys who've never met each other.
Just out of the playoffs. The only reason they're out of the playoffs is because, they're 4-4, and the only reason they'd miss is because of your horrible Eagles winning the division. Like, it's only because of the NFC East that'd be keeping out the Niners out of the playoffs. It's fucking wild. What a weird year. Speaking of weird years, Tennessee, they've lost two straight out here, losing to Cincy. I don't know, man. This is a fucking weird team, right? Are they really good or not? I just need to know, Gaz. Yeah, nah.
I got nothing. What is that? The first? I got nothing on that one. That was it literally felt like when we were picking this game, and this is probably one of the ones that you got over me in the when we were tipping.
Yep.
Is it seemed like it was a game of how much, not if.
Yeah.
Right. Like Tennessee, they consider themselves legit. Tannehill's been playing well. Henry's just running over dudes. Like it literally seemed like it would be how much and how often would they get to Burrow.
Yep.
And it just was the complete opposite. So I was kind of floored with it. I don't know whether they just caught him by surprise. Actually, it wasn't that at all. Since he got a 10-0 lead, and then they traded touchdowns from there.
Yep.
So they just literally jumped him and then held their own. So yeah, Tennessee got some soul searching to do, I reckon, if they want to go against the Steelers and Chiefs and be taken seriously.
Jumped him like a Bills fan jumping a dildo in a back alley. speaking of which, are you worried about Josh Allen? If you are, said Bills fan, what do you reckon, Gaz? Yeah, nah.
You'd have to, wouldn't you? Because he's definitely seemed shaky in recent weeks, and he didn't put like, you know, for a scrambling quarterback like him, he didn't put up a total of 200 yards between the air and ground this week. That's got to be fucking concerning, right? Considering that they thought, all right, they've made the playoffs. This year is when they go deep, like a Bills fan with a dildo. But seriously, with the power that's now starting to, I guess, show some distance in the NFC and some of the points that are being put up, you'd be concerned if you were... if you're a Bills fan at the moment.
I mean, they're 6-2 and they've got a point differential of -1. Like... It's fucking crazy. I don't know. I'd be a bit worried. Josh Allen, look, going into that game as a Pats fan, I'm like, he's just going to fucking shred. Oh, no, he's not. He didn't have to. And they just crushed us anyway. But he was just, I don't know, it was just a bit wonky, a bit off. Are the Rams the worst 5-win team going right now? Gaz, Goff had 4 turnovers before halftime. And does that also mean like the NFC West is kind of a bit over if the Rams aren't as good as we maybe suspected they might have been? Yeah, no.
Nah, I'd have to say nah, only because the Bears have 5 wins as well.
Yep.
So, look, Allen Robinson is having a fucking blinder of a season.
Yes.
He will hopefully get an opportunity at a team that's not with it. His stats, considering us, there was a list of his quarterbacks since college, and they have been absolutely nothing short of fucking atrocious. So the fact that he's doing what he is doing is amazing. And obviously, I'm a fan of Big Dick Nick, but it's mainly about the story, right? The legend of Big Dick Nick. It's not that he's ever really been a start-to-finish season player. So, look, the Bears, I think, would have to be the worst 5-win team, particularly because there's just so much... When they all click, there's so much firepower on the Rams. It's just they're another fucking confusing team.
They're the Titans of the NFC, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. You just don't know who's going to show up from fucking week to week. But I definitely don't think the West is over. But the Cards have no opportunity to slip up now. Like they've shown that they can run it with the Seahawks. Now they've got to stay in touch, right?
Yep.
So. Yeah, it'll be an interesting run home.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I love it. Speaking of the Bears, Saints needed overtime to get over the top of them without Mickey Thomas and Manny Emmanuel Sanders. Was that a reflection in overtime of how good Breeze and Kamara just are, or that the Bears are still kind of shit? Yeah, nah, I don't know. What's the end? Both teams are fun.
We need a, yeah, I know. We need a little from column A, a little from column B option here. Well, Breeze was missing his top three wide receivers here.
Jesus. Who was the other one?
But he, he just didn't seem the sharpest. So no. Look, listening to all the, you know, the pundits and reviews and even the Saints fans out there, there's some massive concerns about Breeze, particularly playing outdoors and how it's going to go, not only with his very short passes that he's not taking shots downfield, but also when it gets to January.
Yep.
That they really, like, Saints fans are really driving home that they need to win the division and get inside a dome, because if they're playing in an outdoor field in January against another high-powered offense, then they're pretty much fucked.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, but Kamara, Jesus Christ, he's just keeping him in the season, really, isn't he?
It's
pretty amazing. Half of Breeze's stats have just got to be from two-yard passes.
Yeah,
the
little
Kamara
fucking wheel routes that he
yards.
Just fucking shovels off to him and boom,
exactly.
He hits like a fucking 30-yard gap.
Exactly.
It's awesome. I love it. And the Bears, I mean, there's like a bonus one in there, like Trubisky. Look, I still reckon, I think we might have mentioned this in like week two or three. It's like, can we just like start Big Nick for like the first 2 to 3 quarters and then bring in Trubisky? Because Foles just, there was a couple of throws that he had late that you're like, oh, there he is. But like the rest of the game, you're like, what the fuck, man? It kills me.
He definitely started shit and then got them back into the game. But there was one that he needed to push, particularly it was like highlighted it, where there was fucking 15 yards. It was a 3rd and 10, 15 yards in front of him. Trubisky would have gone for it, but Foles knew that they were just going to sweep in on him. So,
stuff. Speaking of bad teams, but kind of good teams, I don't know, Gaz, are the Giants now not that bad? Yeah, no.
Nah, they're still pretty shit, mate.
Oh,
Look, Danny Dimes is just, this is coming from an Eagles fan who's got Carson Wentz, but Danny Dimes is just a turnover machine. The
glass houses, man. Glass houses.
I know, right? No, I think the best tweet I saw on Danny Dimes today was he's Jameis Winston without the upside.
Wow.
I know, right?
To be honest,
that's a harsh call.
To be honest, I'm kind of on board with it.
Yeah, I know, right?
At least Jameis threw 30 touchdowns to go with his 30 turnovers last year, right?
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, there were a couple of very, very pretty passes, like the one to Deion Lewis, the sliding touchdown.
Yep.
The one to there's a couple to Slayton. There was a couple.
There's a couple of good throws to Ingram as well. Like it's just it's like
Golden Tate. Yeah. But yeah, look, there's just also some fucking head scratchers.
Yep.
Like Carson, if you can just teach these guys when to throw the ball away. Then they'd be fine, right? So anyway, their running back situation is also pretty dire. They're running through them at the moment. injury hobbled. So we'll see how that goes the rest of the season.
Losing Saquon still hurts, doesn't it? It's weird. That felt like a fucking years ago, doesn't it? When Saquon went out. Halfway through the season we are, Gaz, basically. Between week 8 and week 9. Who knows? It could go to week 18. We can end up week 24. I wouldn't give a shit this year. NFL, just keep me entertained until basketball comes back. is Russell Wilson the fucking halfway MVP? Yeah, nah.
Look, I was looking for excuses to say nah at this bit, just for a bit of conversation. But at the moment, you kind of have to say yeah, right? Yep. Like, look, Mahomes, it's not that he's playing badly. He hasn't been as sharp in certain games, but also he's been playing with a lead like a lot of the time. So he just hasn't had to push in the same way. Big Ben's got some weapons around him, but it's not him that's causing it. Lamar's nowhere near what he was last year. And then Rodgers, as we've already spoken about, has put up some fucking stinkers. So look, there's some other players who are having, you know, different positions who are having fucking epic seasons, but I don't think anything that is MVP caliber over some of what Russ is doing is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Checks out. I'm on board. Right. Well, it's Tuesday, Gaz, and that means here at Outback Takehouse, we've got some flame-grilled takes for you. But what goes great with a flame-grilled take? I don't know. This blooming onion. That's right. No one knows what the fuck this is in Australia, but we just took a bunch of onions and deep-fried these bastards to sell to you fat bastard Yanks, because you love that shit. We just take a fucking onion and throw it on a barbie. Well, can't deep-fry that. Either way, goes great with a flame-grilled take. And today's flame-grilled take is the NFL's expanding the playoffs just to make sure that the Pats get screwed. Only at Outback. Well, not really. Come on. That's ridiculous. But really, I kind of mentioned this earlier. This is clearly
I wanted to know how you were going to justify this one.
I just can't be bothered because, like, we're fucked anyway and we're shit. But it is great to the NFL to go, oh, here we go. Do you want to make the playoffs, Pats? We're going to expand the field and go, oh, there you go. Fuck off. But this is obviously what the NFL has wanted to do for ages, right? Expand the season, expand the playoffs, boom. You're basically there, right? If we go to 18 weeks this year, 16-team playoffs, laughing. They've just got to figure out their, the ongoing playoff sort of implications of what they want to do in seasons hence. But, I mean, that's kind of exactly what the NFL wants, right?
Mate, yeah, there's either that. It's this fucking cat and mouse game where the NFL's trying to get Big Bill, but the latest conspiracy theory is Bill's going to deliberately drop the games to the Jets to just take Trevor Lawrence out from under them.
Hey, I'm on board with this. And it's going to be this.
Opposite. Sorry, it's going to so be the perfect much. Leverage move.
If we don't win another game all fucking season, I'm happy, because that'd mean we'll lose twice to the Jets. We'll keep dropping games left, right, and fucking center. We might have a shot. Who knows? But
yeah, the only thing there is, like, the Jets are in fire sale mode.
Yeah.
So who knows? It could be. I've complained about the Cowboys Eagles game, but the Pats Jets may end up being just a bunch of practice squad dudes. Preseason week 4.
Steve Belichick might be starting and coaching. Nice. Anyway. Yep. All right. Good bloke of the week this week is Janoris Jenkins for me. Gaz jumped in. So we're about to jump all over this just as he jumped in as Javon Wims started wailing on his teammate. Fucking love that. So punch on ensued. Great. Janoris Jenkins goes, hey, what are you doing hitting my teammate? Just straight jumped on Javon Wims, which was fun as shit. So ride or fucking die. That's exactly what in a good bloke of the week. Love it.
Yep. Well, for me, I just didn't want to have two of my topics the same. So mine goes to Avery Williamson, who I want to have a beer with, but I'm not buying him a fucking beer because he's got enough money. But he woke up the other day at the 0-7 Jets, and then by the end of it was a member of the 8-0 Steelers. So, he's fucking, his Instagram post was pretty good. It's him on the side of the road in his Jets uniform with his thumb out going, next stop, Pittsburgh. Nice. That was pretty fucking genius. But, we'll have a beer with him, but it's his fucking round.
Yeah. Also, the Steelers are only 7-0. So, still, it's just the
old. There you go.
Time for some, oh, mate, no, mate. Nah, he's your fucking mate. The flip side of this is obviously Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Just everyone wants to punch him in the fucking head. It's a bit weird. His teammate wants to punch him in the fucking head. Michael Thomas, his fucking teammate, Gaz. He's like, I hate you so much, I want to punch you in the head.
And then in this game, Javon Williams is like, I fucking hate this guy so much. I'm going to punch him in the head, even though he's got a fucking helmet on, because I fucking hate him so much. There's a dude who's literally got zero mates, apparently outside of Janoris Jenkins, which was awesome.
Yeah. Look, while I appreciate that, I feel like it's kind of got to be like your job as a prick of a cornerback to just get under the skin of wide receivers. So I kind of get that. But the shit bloke for me has to go to Wims, just because, like, not only the brain snap of punching on field like that.
The cheap shot of the turnaround and then just fucking whacking him is a bit, obviously, old mate, no mates as well.
But what a dumb cunt to literally punch a guy in the helmet. Like, you're not going to win that.
Yep.
At least chuck a Miles Garrett and take his helmet off him first.
Whip the helmet off and then fucking have a go.
Like, give it a crack, mate.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, I don't know, what the stories have come that, what, he kind of, like, spat at him, and then Wims is just like,
and
well,
had
fuck
his
you,
finger
and
in his face. And apparently, so the action that you see at the beginning of it, apparently he went to rip off his chain.
Yep.
And he missed the chain, and because he missed the chain, he cracked the shits because it was almost embarrassing that whatever he tried to do, he missed, so he just swung. But still, that's like, what do you think is going to happen?
Yep. Right?
Like, and he's going to appeal the suspension as well. Like, just dude, fucking take it, mate. Who the fuck are you anyway?
Exactly. Australian player watch, really quick one this week. Jordan Mailata got roasted by DeMarcus Lawrence in that Eagles-Cowboys game. It was tough to watch. I felt pretty bad.
Mate, I felt sorry for him for that one because he had been adjusted. He'd been chucked into left tackle from a third string. He'd been doing okay there. Then Jason Peters came back and Lane Johnson went out. So they just went, oh, you know how you write with your left hand? How about you go over and write with your right hand against a Pro Bowl fucking... So look, he did get burnt at the beginning of the game, but he settled in and it wasn't too bad by the end of it. So he did all right. Got to give respect for what Jordan's doing this year.
Nice one. All right, let's look at next week's slate of games, Gaz. I'm going to continue to kick your ass, I think, on some of these picks.
Jesus. I've got to be more safe, I reckon.
Well, you were pretty safe last week. I was just better. right, so for a Thursday night game, we've got Green Bay, San Francisco in San Fran. Frisco, as it were. 3.5-point underdogs, the Niners at home, which is not that much, really, considering that they've got no quarterback, no tight end, injuries galore. But obviously, the pack, it's tough to sort of like really trust them, right? So here we are sitting there going, all right, 3.5 points. I kind of want to take the Packers, but I don't trust it.
I'm going to take the Packers here. Namely because I don't know who they're getting back, but we do definitely know who is going to be out for fucking San Fran. Not having Kittle, there's fucking 150 yards of offense right fucking there, right?
Yep. It is. It's wild. I don't know. It's a tough one, but still. So I'm going to say...
Jordan Reed's on IR too, right? So even their backup tight end to Kittle from earlier in the season when he was out is fucking gone as well. What's his name? Was the running back who came out of nowhere this week? Hasty?
Yeah.
He didn't have the greatest game. So that blew up our theory last week of Shanahan plug and play wide running backs. Anyway, we know nothing, Jimmy. We know nothing.
So Green Bay, you reckon? -3.5?
I'm going Green Bay, mate. Yeah, I'm going Green Bay.
All right, ATL hosting the Broncos. Ah, the Denver Broncos. This is really tricky in terms of like teams that sort of rock up and then also don't rock up for games. Holy shit. Atlanta and Denver right there. The Falcons are favored by 4 and I can easily see them covering, but 4 is such a tricky fucking number because I can also see them winning this like 23-20, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just can't trust the Broncos though. Especially Denver, Atlanta. I'm going to have to go to the Falcons.
Me either. Yeah, I'm going to go to the Falcons as well. I'm just trying to work out, is Calvin Ridley out?
Ooh, tricky. Baltimore going to Indy. Baltimore only favored by 3, but they are on the road, so I guess it makes sense. You'd think the Baltimore would be not on the road. I guess that makes a bit of sense. Indy plus 3 at home. What do you reckon?
I might go Indy plus 3.
I might go Baltimore just because... I think after this week, it's just this is the sort of game that they win, where it's like, oh, it was a pretty good game that they won. It's like, but they can't beat the actual really good teams. And
I've just gone about completely against my own like philosophy of the good teams. you never pick them to lose two in a row because they play angry second week, and I've just gone against that. So anyway,
I think it's a really tasty game though. I love that. Yeah. So, that's really good.
There's a few this week.
Yeah, there's heaps of really good ones. Seattle-Buffalo is another one. Holy shit, that's fun. Buffalo hosting the Seattle Seahawks. 3-point underdogs at home against Seattle. This is going to be a tricky one for, like, I don't know, Seattle. The Bills' defense hasn't been great. Obviously, the Seattle D has been shithouse for most of the year, but can Buffalo actually lean on that? 3-point underdogs at home. Seattle traveling east. This is a tough one, but it's going to be a fun-ass game no matter what. The over-under is 54. Fucking hell. Jesus. It's a lot of points. Who knows what the weather could be like in Buffalo? I don't know.
I might take Seattle on the road here.
I might take Seattle on the road as well. Just, I don't know. The Bills is just something a bit funky about them. Whereas Seattle, I don't know. I trust them just that little bit more. Bears-Titans is also a really good game. Bears Titans, it's the NFC versus the AFC versions of basically kind of each other. Titans are 5.5-point favorites at home, though. Jesus. I feel like they cover that. I'm going to take the Titans.
Yeah, I'll take the Titans.
Yeah. I feel like that's a game where you're like, oh, the Bears. Oh, I remember when we thought they were good and Tennessee crush them. Chiefs Panthers, another fun game, even though you wouldn't kind of think of it, but the Chiefs are 10.5-point favorites over the Panthers. I have to take Carolina there. That's a weird one.
Yeah, and I reckon McCaffrey will be back.
Ooh.
Which could make things even spicier. Hmm. Nice. What, 10 points, you reckon?
10.5.
10.5. Yeah, I might go with the Panthers.
Nice one. NFC North matchup again. We've got Vikings-Lions. Vikings, 4-point favorites at home against the Lions. That's so weird. I think this is a funky game. I'm going to take Detroit just because it's the sort of game Detroit came out of nowhere and, like, at least cover, and it's really close. And you're like, are the Vikings good? I don't fucking know, man.
All right, I'm going to go the Vikings to do two in a row against the NFC rivalry, and I need to catch up on you, so I can't pick the same as you every fucking game.
Texans. Jacksonville, that's a, what, AFC South matchup. Ooh, this is a thing where it's like, well, I guess one team has to win, kind of maybe. 6.5
with points. With a rookie unknown quarterback coming in for, I got to take the Texans.
I got to take Houston. This is, less than a,
that said,
less
that
than
said,
a touchdown,
if they,
Jesus.
If they deal Fuller in the next 24 hours, all bets are off.
True, right.
We're closing up shop.
Giants, Washington. The Washington football team, 3.5-point favorites against the Giants in Washington. Where this is weirdly assuming that Washington is still there next week, which, hey. Washington, 3.5-point favorites. It's a tricky one. Giants are looking good.
I mean, the
good.
Giants...
Didn't they play it? Like 2 weeks ago and the Giants won by a point or something? Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Correct. And that was when Riverboat Ron went for two. That's versus right. Taking the... versus taking the one.
Well, you don't beat Riverboat Ron twice in 3 weeks, so
yeah,
I'm taking
Washington. I'm going to go Washington. That defensive line, well, I reckon they'll cause fits on the Giants. And, although I'm hoping the Giants win because that'll just give us a little bit of gap in my really shitty division.
Raiders go to Chargers. It's the formerly LA Raiders going against the formerly San Diego Chargers. That's weird. 1.5-point favorites of the Chargers. Can they actually build a lead and hold it at home against the Raiders? Fuck, that's weird. I don't know. The Raiders look good this week, but they're going to back to LA. I feel like the Chargers can win that. I'm going to take the Chargers at home, 1.5.
It's difficult. Yeah, I'm going to go with Chargers for this one.
Could also see just the Chargers dropping off a cliff, though.
Yeah.
Rookie quarterback, Vegas, I don't know. Pittsburgh-Dallas, classic matchup. I still remember, we were in Boston for one of these matchups, I want to say 3-4 years ago, just an absolute classic game. Zeke,
it's not
going to
be that, motherfucker. It's not going to be that. This it's is... not going to be one of those Dak or Romo classics versus Big Ben. It's going to be a shit show.
Oh, yeah. So the weird part is there is no, I believe, line for this one yet. I'm not sure why.
Because they probably don't know. Probably
they don't know who's Dalton. Yeah, they don't know who's going to be the quarterback for Pittsburgh. So for Dallas rather.
For Dallas,
obviously. So I'm just we'd have to go straight up. So I'm obviously going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, same.
Could be a trap game though. You never know. Pittsburgh could be looking past them, and Dallas could come out of nowhere.
Yep. I don't believe that at all. I agreed with you without actually thinking about that comment. There's no fucking way. Pittsburgh. No
Miami going to Arizona. This is a fun game. Tua versus Kyler. Love that. Kyler, Tua. Arizona are 4-point favorites. Dolphins, sometimes they travel okay. Sometimes they don't. Cards are pretty good at home.
Yeah, I reckon I want to go cards in a desert.
Yeah, I think
so. Let's go cards.
It's a tough one, but I don't know. I want to believe in Tua.
Yeah.
I think Arizona just, week off, they get to hang out. Yeah. Then we've got Saints Tampa Bay Sunday night. What a great matchup this is. Tampa Bay a 4.5-point favorites at home against the Saints, and I think I'm going to take Tampa Bay because I feel like there's a smackdown coming after today's shit show. So, and I feel like Orleans aren't quite as good as we maybe think.
I agree.
Even if Michael Thomas comes back.
Yeah. Well, it's actually a tough window that afternoon because I want to see Pittsburgh hand Dallas their ass in a brown paper bag.
Yep.
But I also want to watch Tua versus Kyler.
Yep.
But, we've had that NFC South game circled since the beginning of the season. So, yeah, it's going to be a good... I'm not getting any work done Monday morning, clearly. Well,
this will be Monday afternoon by the time that rolls around because it's Sunday night.
Oh, true.
Laughing. And then, of course, Monday, the shit bowl. Jets-Pats in New York. The Jets are underdogs by 7 points at home against the Pats. I think I don't know. I feel like I'm going to take the Jets to cover. I don't want to, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Plus 7. Yeah. I feel like if the Pats win, they either fucking cream them and it's like 33-6 or it's really close.
All right. I'm just going to take your Pats, right? For no other reason than if I win this pick next week, I can talk about how I had more faith in your team than you did.
Yeah, it checks out. Well, to be fair, I think this week we've only got three different picks, so you're not going to be making up too much ground, but you might win all three of those. So.
Yeah.
Tough scene.
Either that or I owe you about a slab and a half by the end of the season.
Right. All right, time for everybody's least favorite segment, Fuck My Fantasy Team. I was pretty lucky this week. No Michael Thomas, Aaron Jones, David Johnson, or Brandon Cooks, but I pulled it off. I had Zach Moss on my bench, chucked him in. It paid off pretty big. He had 2 touchdowns against the Pats, so... couldn't be too burnt about them losing because it got me a win. So, I don't know. Otherwise, whatever. Who gives a fuck? What about you guys?
Oh, mate, my big complaint is fucking Mike Williams. Every time I've started him, he's put up fucking donuts.
That's the Mike Williams experience, Gaz. You can't trust him.
Oh, my God. He's killing me. And the other one is fucking Jacksonville for, as soon as Minshew was going down, they were like, oh, they're going to start Mike Glennon. Fucking red giraffe. I've got Wentz on a bye this week. So the Eagles on a bye. So I was going to pick him up, slot him in for one game, and then we're off. And then sure enough, they're starting the fucking rookie. Yeah, exactly. Fuck. Anyway, tough scenes.
Just as well, no one cares. All right, sweet as, that's it for this week. We're back next week with more dumb shittery. That's what we do here in NFL Australia. In the meantime, check us a follow on Facey, Twitter, Instagram. We're out of Twitter jail. It's all good. But also check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever app you use on the Android phone. It does help heaps. So go on.
Yeah.
Do that. Rate and review it.
Help a brother out.
Don't be a fucking coward. Big thanks to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Their album Running Out of Time is the fucking best. I love that band. Smash the dailyliquor.com, Gaz. Use the code STRAYA. Get a free sixer. Spend 20 win wins. Nice. Love that.
Nice.
And also, look, if you want to, if you can be bothered, big lead up to the NBA draft. So smash NBA STRAYA, the sister podcast of this one. Still doing weekly shows. No one entirely knows when the NBA season is going to start, but I think they're trying to cut short my Christmas holiday and fuck me. But we do have the draft in a couple of weeks. Got a big episode this week talking about all the Aussie players and the most interesting teams in free agency, which would be pretty good. Gaz, what do you want to plug?
Mate, I would just, in the next 24 hours, if the US could not start a civil war, that'd be fucking great. And if any of the premiers are listening to from other states, because I know they're all Gladys, hot mess Gladys, I'm talking to you. If you could open the borders so that we could fuck off and travel, that'd be great.
Nice. I can. Well, we're going to go up to Echuca in a couple of weeks. I'll smuggle you across the border, like, or just load
fuck
you.
Yeah, here we go.
Load you into a cannon or something and shoot that's you across it. The Murray. All right, that's it for NFL Australia for Week 8, heading into Week 9. This has been fucking great, Gaz. We'll catch you next week, you dickheads.
Yeah. See yas.
Later, homie.